KAYT. Praising the Lord. Good morning. It's time now for Second Union Baptist Church radio broadcast with Reverend Joseph Martin. The church is located 6436 Old Baton Rouge Highway, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71302. You can phone 318-445-4875. And now, here is Second Union Baptist Church radio broadcast already in progress.
We observe the ordinance of baptism and the ordinance of the Lord's Supper. And I stand here today because many people participate in the Lord's Supper. But do they really understand why? Hopefully when I finish, you will. Do we really understand why? In other words, just what does the Lord's death and the supper, what does it reveal to us? I can stand here today and say, to properly observe the ordinance of the Lord's Supper, we need to be serious and earnest. And at the same time, have an attitude of joyful celebration. That's what we're here for today. It should be a joyful celebration. You see, remembering an event as significant as the death of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ should fill us with a spirit of awe and deepest reverence. The ordinance. A little bit loud. Cut that down for me just a little bit. The ordinance of the Lord's Supper gives us reason to celebrate what he did for us at Calvary while we anticipate his glorious return. And as we do so, we are actually proclaiming the fact of his redemptive death on the cross. And we need to do this, praise God, for our heart good and for the salvation of other people. Amen. So as I look at our text and some other scriptures that I want to expound on this morning, let's see what the death of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, just what does it reveal to us today? Praise God. I believe I have enough scripture here to pull and show that there's about four things that this ordinance that we are all going to partake of today, there is something that it reveals to us. Praise God. And the very first thing that it reveals to us is that it reveals the awfulness of sin. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, oh neighbor, sin is awful. And Jesus' death revealed the awkwardness of sin. See, can I press my case? Scripture after scripture declare that our sins were the reason for the death of Jesus Christ on the cross. There are many scriptures that says that. Praise God. And this may seem strange to somebody in the 21st century who's hearing this for the first time, but it was our sins were the reason why Jesus mounted that cross. It wasn't the Roman soldiers. It wasn't the Pharisees. It wasn't the Sadducees. But it was our sin. What's the reason? Because sin is awful. Let me just give you a couple of scriptures. See, he came here. He came here to mount that cross. Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. When Jesus was about to be born, an angel appeared unto Joseph and said these words, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus." And look what the son coming from. "For he shall save his people from their what? From their sins." Sin was awful. And at the very beginning of Jesus' ministry, I know everybody in here remember a fellow by the name of John the Baptist. John the Baptist was out baptizing. Praise God. And he was baptizing. I don't know how many he was baptizing. But he had baptized that day. And the Bible tells us on the next day, praise God. Amen. I believe it's John chapter 1, verse 29, if I'm not mistaken. That's it. Look what John the Baptist said. He looked out. And he said, John looked out the next day, and he said, "Behold the Lamb of God." He saw Jesus coming. He said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away what? The sin of the world." He came, praise God, my brothers and my sisters, so that he would mount that cross so that he can take care of our sin problem, because sin was an awful thing, and it still is an awful thing. Apostle Peter, who you recall at one time called himself rebuking Jesus. Oh, y'all remember that? Y'all remember that? All you Bible readers remember that. In the 16th chapter of Matthew, Jesus asked him when he was on the way to Caesarea Philippi, he said, "Who do men say that I am?" And all of them started telling him, they told you, "Elijah, you this and you that, and you that, you John the Baptist, you all that." But then he asked a pointed question to them, like lawyers do. He said, "And who do you say I am?" Peter stood up and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And he declared unto Peter, "Flesh and blood didn't tell you this, but my Father." If you read that, but then you just go head down, Jesus began to tell his disciples and Peter and all the rest of them that he was going to suffer and that he was going to die and that he was going to get up. And Peter calls himself rebuking Jesus. "You're not going to do this. You're not going to do this." And Jesus had to call Peter out of his name. He just got you calling them Cephas and upon this rock. Now he said, "Get behind me, Satan. Because you talk like somebody that's out of this world." Praise God. And guess what? This same Peter had to later write in his epistle. I want you to look at these words. Praise God. Peter, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24 and 25. Praise God. Peter had to write these words to those scattered Jews who were scattered at that time because of persecutions. He had the right words of hope. He had the right words of holiness to these people, praise God. But look what he writes. He said, "Who his own self bore our what? Sins in his own body on a tree, that we being dead to sin should what? Live unto righteousness. By whose stripes we were healed. For you were as sheep going astray, But thank God. But are now returned unto the shepherd and the bishop. Praise God of your souls. You see, it was at the cross where we were confronted with the fact that each of us is a sinner and in need of God's forgiveness. So as we partake of this ordinance today, this Lord's Supper today, we need to understand that it revealed the awfulness of sin. But a second thing that it revealed, it also revealed the greatness of God's love for sinners. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, I got to do the same thing. Say, God loves sinners. God loves sinners. God loves you. Praise God. And his death on the cross revealed, praise God, the greatness of his love for sinners. That's why I try to tell people in this world, don't let nobody ever tell you that you're not worth nothing. Don't ever, 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 never, ever, ever, young folk, don't ever let nobody tell you that you are nothing, that you will not amount to nothing. If you don't tell them no more than the fact that you are a sinner saved by grace and that you are precious in the eyesight of God. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Paul picks that thing up in Paul in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, and he said, but God commended his love towards us in that what? While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You see, it is only with the help of the Holy Spirit that we can begin, as Paul said, praise God, that we may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, what is the length, what is the depth, the height, and to know what the love of Christ. You'll find that in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 18 through 19. Praise God. The know the love of Christ which passes, praise God, knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. That's only through love that Jesus Christ had for us as sinners. And in an age that dehumanizes the individuals and discount the value of a person, we come to Calvary. Praise God, to see how great God's love is for us. And I must tell you that it is a divine love. Oh, yes, it was a divine love. You see, it was a divine love that conceived the plan by which we could be saved. It was divine love that brought God's plan down to earth. It was divine love that carried out this plan of salvation on the cross. You see, as we partake of this communion on today, we see the greatness of God, of God's love for sinners being revealed. John writes the words of Jesus at John chapter 15, verse 13. He says, praise God, a greater love has no man than this, than a man to lay down his life for his friend. So we find that his death on the cross revealed the awfulness of sin. It revealed the greatness of God's love towards sinner. Praise God. Paul liked to say that which he was chief, but I think I take that place from Paul. Praise God. But the third time thing that it reveals, Jesus' death reveals the value of a lost soul. Can I tell you that your soul is worth something to Jesus? Can I tell you that your soul is worth something to God? In the business world, the value of a person to an organization is often revealed by the price an employer is willing to pay for his or her service. And in some parts of the world, human life is considered very cheap. We saw this demonstrated about the last 2.5 weeks when we have a journalist to walk into Saudi Arabia and to their consulate through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You see, either we must die for our own sins or we must accept the perfect substitute that God has offered us in his Son, Jesus Christ. But if you'll mind, as I get ready to close, if you allow me, I'll allow my mind to walk back through biblical history. And as I think about all of the good men who died, I think about all of the good men who died. I'm talking about men who died who was in the Lord. Praise God, but there is nothing that is recorded. There is nothing that we are to proclaim that was significant about their death other than the fact that they died. Amen. Can I call a couple of witnesses across this stage of history? Praise God. Methuselah lived 969 years. The longest man to live upon the earth, praise God. But the Bible says the only thing about Methuselah is that he died. Abraham was a good man. He was a faithful man. We have been talking about him in the last 2 or 3 Sunday school lessons, how he was the father of faith. But praise God, when it comes back to redeeming mankind, although Abraham was a good man, and although Abraham had faith, praise God, Abraham could not be used to go back and bring back mankind. He could not be used to redeem mankind. The reason why, praise God, I remember that Abraham found in Genesis chapter 12, verse 19, when he rolled into to Egypt, praise God, he told Pharaoh that Sarah was his sister. In other words, Elias, so God said, I can't use Abraham to come back and redeem my church. I go back and I call Moses across the stages of history. Moses was a good man, but Moses could not be used to redeem man because Moses got mad with God. God told Moses and said, I told you and Aaron to go out here and I want you to speak to the rocks. Pray God to this rock. Amen. But then Moses gets over to the rock and he gets mad, and instead of him speaking to the rock like God told him, he struck the rock. But not only did he strike it one time, but he struck it 2 times so that the water came out. That's the significance about that. Praise God. Let me tell you something. When you are leading God's people, praise God, there's going to come some time, praise God. Sheep got to be led, praise God. They can't be gathered. They can't be hooked, praise God. They have to be led, praise God. And Moses got mad with God, and God said, I can't use Moses, even though he was a good man, but I can't send Moses back to redeem, praise God, mankind. As Paul, there's another man by the name of Noah. Noah was a good man. We talked about Noah last week, I believe, in Sunday school, praise God. But God couldn't use Noah to redeem mankind, praise God. But Noah was on the water, man, for a long time. Praise God, after they preached a fiery message for 120 years, it's going to rain, praise God. But as soon as the waters abated and soon as Noah got on dry ground, the Bible tells us that Noah made him a vineyard and he got drunk. God said, I can't use him. He's a good man, but I can't use him to go back because I got my church that's going to be coming up through some trials and tribulation, praise God. And Noah may go out there and get some of that stuff, get drunk, and leave my folks back there. David, a man that said after God's own heart, was a good man. But God couldn't use David, praise God, to redeem the church. Because David, praise God, had one man killed. After he had taken this man's wife. So God said, I can't use you, David. David had a son by the name of Solomon. Solomon was the wisest man to ever walk the face of the earth. But he said, I can't use you, Solomon. Why can't you use Solomon? Because Solomon, praise God, had a lustful desire. And he could not control his lustfulness. Because the Bible tells me that Solomon had 700 wives and 300 concubines. And just in case you don't know what a concubine was, that was another woman on the other side. Praise God. And he said, since you are going with all of those women, Solomon, you are going to latch on to that strange gods. And the Bible tells us that Solomon, sure enough, start falling and not only falling in love with his lustful desires, but he also fell in love, praise God, with those strange gods. So God couldn't use Solomon. I look at Jeremiah, the one that's called the weeping prophet. But God couldn't use Jeremiah, praise God, to redeem mankind, because Jeremiah said one day that I'm not going to speak on your behalf anymore. Until it got to a point where Jeremiah said, Lord, it's like a fire shut up in my bones. One thing about somebody that was going to proclaim that we are going to proclaim, somebody that's going to come back and get this church, it had to be somebody that didn't have any spots. It had to be somebody that didn't have any blemish. Praise God. So as I continue to look back through the annals of history, I see that there was one by the name of Jesus. Praise God. He was one that without spot or blemish. He came through the line of the tribe of Judah from the root of David. And the Bible said that he is worthy to go back and get to church. How do I know that? Praise God. Because when I look to the text, it says that he came up through 42 generations. He was born of a virgin Mary. He lived in a town called Nazareth. He went about doing everything that was good. He preached for 3.5 years the unadulterated word of God. He was betrayed by one disciple, and he was abandoned by all the rest of his disciples. He was whipped all night long. Praise God, they put a crown of thorns upon his head. They stripped him of all of his clothes and put on a robe of purple. They mocked him and spit upon him in his face. Praise God, they led him up a hill called Calvary. Praise God, and he was crucified between two thieves. Praise God, and then he died. Didn't he die? He laid his head in the locks of his shoulder and he died. Praise God, he stayed there until he died. And they took him down off of that cross and put him in a borrowed grave. Praise God, where he stayed there 3 days and 3 nights. But early one Sunday morning, he got up and declared that I got all power in my hand. His death reveals some things to us. It revealed the awfulness of sin. It revealed God's goodness and his greatness of his love towards sinners. It revealed the fact, praise God, that there's only one way to salvation. It also revealed, amen, that your soul is precious in God's sight. If you are here today, if you are here today, and you don't know Jesus, we want to give you an opportunity to come today and give your life to Him. He suffered, bled, and died for you, that you may have the right to the tree of life. I've told you what His death revealed, His death on the cross, what it revealed to you. You are precious in His sight. And He doesn't want you to perish. I take it that everybody in here is saved today. And that's good. Give yourselves a round of applause. Amen. Amen. As we prepare our hearts to partake in this ordinance, the Lord's Supper, the Bible says that each person ought to examine his or herself. I'm going to pray a prayer, but I'm praying that you are praying also to your Lord. Oh Lord God, we thank you for all that you have done for us, all that you have done through us. And Lord God, as we now come to partake in this holy ordinance that you left with the church, I'm asking, Father God, that each and every last one of us examine ourselves. Because your words say that we should not eat nor drink of this cup unworthily. If there's any sin in our lives, Lord, you asking you, Lord God, to forgive each and every last one of us. You displayed your greatness and your love for each of us sinners. And Lord God, we thank you. And Lord, if there's something in our hearts that we have not confessed before you this morning, we're asking, Lord, that you confess it now while the blood is running warm in your vein. And we thank you. For it's in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.
You have been blessed by the Second Union Baptist Church, 6436 Old Baton Rouge Highway, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71302. They will be glad to hear from you. If you'd like to contact them, you may contact them at 318-445-4875. Tune in next time.